This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about court funding, immigration fraud, and other state bar of California consumer issues. It's my pleasure to have the newly elected and installed state bar president, Luis J. Rodriguez, as our guest. He is also the head of a unit down at the L.A. County Public Defender's Office. And so we're going to talk about a number of issues and what the state bar is all about and what Luis wants to do in his year as state bar president. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which certifies the following 11 fields of law: appellate law, bankruptcy law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. It's also funded by the Family Law Section of the State Bar and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Luis, thank you very much for joining us.
Good evening, Chuck. How are you?
I'm all right. Are you exhausted having working yet full-time in the public defender's office as well as full-time as the state bar president?
I am, but you know what? That caffeine always helps, as you know.
You know, I think, Luis, a lot of people, persons who are not involved in the law, and that's most of the audience that listens to this program, probably look upon the state bar as kind of a trade organization. Would you agree with that or not?
I agree with you, Chuck.
Do you?
I do.
It is a trade organization.
No, it's not.
Oh, good. Okay. It is not. All right. I want to make sure. All right. But I think most people believe it is. And why do you say it's not a trade organization?
Well, you know, the misconception, and to clarify the folks, a trade association, most people think, well, it's a group of doctors or a group of, in our case, attorneys who get together, talk about business, talk about how they can improve their business, whether it's through private funding or raising money. That's a trade association, advocating for the profession. But what the state bar is, we're actually a state agency under the Supreme Court. So we, you know, if we go back to our high school civics class, right, with the three branches of government, the executive being, in our state, the governor, legislative, of course, the state senators and assembly persons, and, of course, the judiciary, which in our case is the state Supreme Court. We are an entity underneath the Supreme Court. And so the task that has been given to us by the Supreme Court is not only to give licenses to people who want to practice law in California, but to regulate those licenses. And with that comes supervision, mm-hmm. comes discipline, of course, and comes the need to be vigilant that we behave as attorneys. And ultimately, our main responsibility is to protect the public.
And we'll talk about some of those consumer protections in as we talk during the course of this program. One of the things that it is of great concern, and it's happening in my county, San Mateo County. It's happening all over the state. The courts are having a problem with funding. For example, in San Mateo County, where I am a member of the San Mateo County DA's office, we have lost four court commissioners. We have had to the court, the San Mateo County Superior Court, which is the state court, has had to essentially close down most of its courts in the South San Francisco part of San Mateo County. I know that San Francisco has Superior Court has closed down a number of courts. I don't know about L.A. I know you have been very involved with something called the Open Courts Coalition. What is that, and what do you hope may happen with this coalition?
Well, Chuck, what it is, it's a number of attorneys up and down the state from various areas of law, whether it's civil, criminal, family law. And these are folks who have taken leadership roles in their counties. And we came together in support of the Supreme Court in trying, first of all, our first task was no more cuts. Okay. And as we've seen in the last couple of years, the court's budget has been cut. And the second, of course, goal is to get the court money. What we do is we are the advocacy, unofficial advocacy arm for the Supreme Court in Sacramento to try to, and I don't want to say educate because that sounds a little bit condescending, but provide information to our state elected leaders, including the governor, as to why it's extremely important to make sure that the court's budget is not slashed, but is also restored.
Well, let's hope that happens.
Right.
Let's hope that happens. Let me ask you this, if you don't mind. I mean, you are the first Hispanic attorney to become president of the state bar in the history of the state bar of California.
Right.
You were born in California, is that correct?
That's correct.
You spent your first few years, your family went back to Mexico and spent a few years there. And until what age?
I was about 10 years old when we came back.
So you came back, and so you were probably, when you came back, in the, what, maybe the fourth grade, something like that?
I remember exactly when it came back. We came back in the middle of fifth grade during the holiday season.
Ah. What I want to ask you, and I think it's important that people hear this, if you don't mind. Social media, apparently one of your friends communicated with you on social media congratulating you on becoming the president of the state bar, which is a very significant position. It is a very difficult position because, and I have interviewed most of the state bar presidents over the course of the last nearly 30 years while I've been doing this program, since this is essentially a state bar funded program starting in 1984. And you told me a story, and I hope you don't mind my asking you, but I think it's important that people know this. A friend of your friend then sent back a message to him on social media. Tell us what he said, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. And I think it's important to discuss these things because if I can just, you know, provide a backdrop. You know, folks think that now because we have an African-American president, and in my case, we have a Latino state bar president, although I'm not likening myself to the U.S. president, but people assume that when we have diversity, then racism or bigotry is no longer an issue to be concerned with. So in my particular situation, one of my Facebook friends posted, a press release basically indicating that in the 89-year or 85-year history of the state bar, I was the first Latino elected. Very positive stuff. One of his friends immediately thereafter posted his reaction to my announcement, which was, it said, "Why wasn't a real American elected state bar president?"
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Now, there we are. I mean, it lives today, unfortunately, and I think we all realize that, but I think it's very important that it even comes to someone such as yourself, who obviously has achieved great levels in your profession, both as a lawyer and now as the state bar president. One of the other things that I know that you are very concerned about, and I do, as I said, with the Board of Legal Specialization, one of the specialties is immigration and nationality law. One of the things that you're very concerned about is immigration fraud and scamming. I have brought in the early part, well, not too many years ago, part of my career, a couple of actions against people who, although not attorneys, had not complied with California law in terms of posting on their wall a sign saying, "I am not an attorney," et cetera, et cetera, and they have to have a bond under the California law, et cetera. What are you concerned about, primarily Luis, because this program not only is live in the Bay Area for the full hour, live on the internet at www.klw.org, but also we record the first half hour, which is the statewide version of the program. It goes out to a number of stations, including Radio Bilingue, which has a network of stations in California, and I think goes beyond California, and they play, all of these other stations play the half hour the following week. What are you concerned about with respect to immigration fraud?
Well, you know, and first of all, let me thank you, Chuck, for the work that you're doing. You know, you talked about my background, which is being a public defender, and most people assume that district attorneys and public defenders don't get along. But in what I've seen, I think the way that we treat each other is probably the most honorable and respectful way that I've seen attorneys treat each other. We have the same interest, which is really protecting our democracy. So to begin with, let me thank you for the work that you're doing, Chuck.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Not only on the radio, but what you do on an everyday basis. So, which takes us to the next point, which is why be concerned with immigration fraud? As you know, most people obviously are aware that California is an ethnically diverse state, and it's constantly diversifying, I guess you could say. According to the Hispanic Pew Center, California has about 2.5 million undocumented residents who will be eligible for immigration relief if and when we see something coming out of D.C. As you may imagine, that is a huge target because the immigrant community, for the most part, is pretty silent. You know, they live in the shadows because they're afraid of government authority specifically being deported. And I'm sure you've seen this, Chuck, in offenses that you've prosecuted when you're trying to get a witness in or a victim to come in and testify, and they're not here legally, they're very reluctant. They don't feel comfortable with government, and so they don't speak out. So our fear is that this community, which we view as being very vulnerable, is going to be targeted by notario, as we know, notario públicos, or some folks who, you know, post their shingle up there claiming to provide legal services. Hopefully we won't see too many attorneys doing it, but we can expect that it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they see that community as a cash cow, a community where they don't have credit cards. Their transactions are in currency, and it's hard to trace it, you know, when you don't have a checking account and you've given somebody $500 or $1,000 to help you out, and then they disappear or they don't do the work. So that's our big concern, is that a very silent and vulnerable community will be the target of folks who have no intent other than to line their pockets.
I have had, as I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, a couple of cases like this, and I did not bring criminal actions against these people, but I brought under the Business and Professions Code unfair, unlawful business practice actions against them to get back for the consumers who complained, you know, which was just the tip of the iceberg, really, their money that they had paid to these people, as well as the persons having to pay, that is, these immigration, whatever they wanted to call themselves, immigration providers, a civil penalty for them not properly complying with the law, etc. And I highly recommend, certainly, to people, although I know they are very fearful that they could be arrested and perhaps deported, but I think it's important if there is a problem like this where they feel they have been ripped off by somebody who made promises to them and it doesn't come through, to at the very least anonymously send to their local district attorney's office information about a particular person, where the address is, and the basic facts. And certainly I hope that DA's offices, district attorney's offices, will look into this and do an investigation. Luis, if you don't mind, I want to take a very, very brief break at this point.
Okay, Chuck, no problem.
All right, this is our Call a Lawyer night. I see our attorneys. They're not talking to you. I want them to talk to you. They're standing up. They're drinking. They're talking to themselves. It's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 if you'd like to talk to an attorney off the air. No obligation. It's a great service these people perform. We have topics: workers' compensation law, criminal law, family law, legal malpractice law, landlord-tenant law, employment law, tax law, real estate, patent law, aviation law, lemon law. And tomorrow, if you're being haunted or just bugged by creditors, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available, and I'll give you his number a little bit later. And in a few minutes also, I will give you, or you'll have a chance to call in and speak with Luis Rodriguez, State Bar President, and you might want to take down that number right now, 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. We'll take your calls, or we'll get to you, let's say, about 7:30 or so. But again, for Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guest is Luis Rodriguez, currently two weeks ago you were sworn in?
A little over a week, Chuck.
A little over a week.
October 12th.
October 12th, President of the Board of Trustees, the State Bar of California. Are you the 85th president?
I'm the 89th.
89th. You know, when I came up from L.A., I joined a law firm in Santa Cruz County. And one of the old partners, who I didn't meet because he had died, the founder of this law firm, which was the oldest one in Santa Cruz and Monterey County, he was elected state bar president, and he used to go up to San Francisco in a carriage.
Oh, wow.
So that's a long time
ago. A while ago, Chuck.
Yeah. Here's a question that just came in into my studio. What is the argument for or against providing undocumented parties with state driving credentials? I thought that was the governor's in favor of that. Has that not yet been adopted?
Well, you know, he signed it into law.
Okay.
And
yeah,
it's going to be effective January of next year.
January of 2014.
2014, correct.
Yeah. So I mean, that's been done. Frankly, I feel it's very positive for the public as a whole. What thoughts do you have?
I'm in complete agreement, and let me tell you why, Chuck. As a public defender, a majority of our cases, at least here in L.A. County, are misdemeanor cases. And of that great majority, a large number have to do with folks. And people are surprised that you can be charged with a misdemeanor of driving without a license,
mm-hmm,
or having a suspended license privilege, okay, which people kind of get confused with having a suspended license. That accounts for a big percentage of the misdemeanor cases that we have in L.A. County, which calls the question, we are spending so many resources on prosecuting these cases and defending these cases when that money could be used in other more pressing matters in the community, first of all. That's the first thing, so the use of resources. The second thing is this. We want to know who's out on the streets. We want to know, and we want to have the security that folks have auto insurance. So when somebody gets hit or they hit somebody else, you want to know who the other person was. And if you don't have an identification, or if the person is in fear that they're here without a license, they may take off, and then we have more problems. So first of all, you know, we have the security of knowing that the resources that would otherwise have been spent in prosecuting and defending a very low-level offense will be used somewhere else with a higher priority. Second, you'll be able to know who you're dealing with when it comes to accidents or providing the proper information. And third, it brings folks out of the shadows. It's not a benefit that somebody can say, well, by bestowing this benefit, that being the license, you're taking away something from a U.S. citizen. No, you're not. You are really providing more protection for the citizenship of the state when you know who's out there. And
but,
so for me, it's extremely positive.
But also, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Luis, also In order to get a driver's license under the laws dealing with the with California, to get a license, you have to be able to show that you have insurance. Do you not?
That's correct.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's very, very positive. Not only to have a license, but that it is a requirement that you show the Department of Motor Vehicles that you have insurance. So that's very positive. What I'd like to do is have you talk, if you don't mind, about legal services funding and what the significance of that is as far as the State Bar of California is concerned.
Certainly, Chuck. Thank you for that opportunity. You know, when folks talk about legal services, a lot of times they don't know what it means. It's just such a broad and sometimes vague term. But in our profession, legal services has to do with providing attorney support to folks who are low-income to middle-income families who cannot afford to hire somebody from a medium or a big-size firm. But instead, there's these nonprofit organizations like Legal Aid or down here in L.A. County, Neighborhood Legal Services or Public Counsel that provide either free or low-cost legal representation in areas like landlord-tenant, restraining orders, health, dispute issues. That is just a few areas, and in some cases, veterans' rights issues as well. And so when somebody, first of all, not being an attorney, you know, folks are intimidated by the legal system.
Well, certainly, by the cost, certainly. Most lawyers, if you get a lawyer who's only charging $200 an hour, that's cheap.
Exactly.
No, isn't it?
It's sad.
That's my understanding.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the scary part. You know, for a lot of us, especially, you know, those of us that don't make a whole lot of money, $200 an hour is a lot of money.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
And so we're, you know, at the State Bar, one of my goals and one of my really commitments is to make sure that we continue to fund legal services. It's extremely important because the way I see it is this, Chuck. As attorneys, we are natural leaders.
We hope we are.
We hope we are, right? But, you know, we get paid to advocate, whether it's in civil, criminal, family law. We are there to speak for somebody else. And as the profession that truly is fashioned to be a leadership role model, we have to give back, Chuck, and we have to give back in a couple of ways. Either we do it by our time, like you doing this service in National Public Radio or me doing my work at the State Bar, or we have to give money for those who are very fortunate to make a nice salary. But that is my honest belief, Chuck, is that it is our obligation as advocates to give back.
Is the legal services funding through the State Bar, does some of that money then go to legal aid offices throughout California?
That's correct.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful. I think most people don't know that, frankly. Finally, in the remaining, we've got about 4 minutes of the statewide version of the program. And for those of you who are listening to us live in either the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, or on the Internet, www.klw.org, we do continue for a second half hour, and that's when you will have a chance to call in and speak with State Bar President Luis Rodriguez. And so what I'd like to do is have you, I know you're concerned about women's rights. What are you concerned? I know when I went to law school, and this is a long time ago, I've been practicing as a lawyer for 48 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm still walking. I'm still walking. And I feel pretty good. When I went to law school, I think in my class, which was not a very large class at Loyola Law School down in L.A., I think we maybe had at most 5 women in our class of probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, the better part of 100.
No.
Incredible?
It is.
When you went to law school, what was the percentage of women in law school with you?
You know, I was in law school in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And at that time, the numbers were increasing. And I would say, I went to Santa Clara.
Yeah, I know you did, yes.
And it was a very progressive school as far as diversity. At that time, I would say that we were close to about 40% of the law students being women.
Yeah, it improved markedly after I got out of law school. It took a few years, but it did. Would you take the next couple of minutes, if you would, before we end the statewide version of the program, talk a little bit about your concerns of women's rights?
Absolutely. And it's almost, you know, we the strongest figure, and my father, may he rest in peace, was a strong man and gave us a love in his own way, but the rock of our family is our mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gave us a lot of gifts in that how to deal with life, right? And we saw a very positive role model in my mother. But yet I saw the difficulties that she had as a woman and the way that she was treated in comparison to a man growing up. And, of course, we know about salary disparity between men and women. But now, you know, the issue of assuring a woman's equality in the workplace has become extremely personal in that I have two young girls. And I, you know, they're 10 and 5, and I see them, and I see how they are blossoming into very secure young girls. And I want to make sure, Chuck, that, you know, when they get to that age where they're out in the job market, that they're going to be respected and they're not going to be looked down upon or not being taken seriously because of their gender. And I want to make sure that when they get into that market, whether it's the educational system or the job market, that they feel secure enough that they do not need to be, given the stamp of approval by a male, but that they can do it and they will be treated equally. So for me, it's very personal. And I guess it's almost selfish because being a father of two girls, I want them to have the same type of opportunities that I as a male have had.
Let me do this, Luis, if I can. For those of you who would like to get free pamphlets from the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar in any one of the 11 fields of specialty, you can either call the statewide number, 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100, or you can go to the website, www.californiaspecialist, that's singular, specialist.org, californiaspecialist.org. You can get a pamphlet through that way, and you can also find out, both by phone and the website, who the certified specialists are in your geographic area. It is about 7:28 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on consumer issues as the State Bar of California is working on them, and in particular, how its new president, Luis J. Rodriguez, president of the Board of Trustees of the State Bar of California, sees his role in the coming year. He was anointed, if I may, if you don't mind, President Rodriguez. He was anointed not much more than a few days ago, and so it's a big job ahead of him, both as president of the State Bar as well as being the chief of a division of the Los Angeles County Public Defender's Office. Let me encourage you, by the way, to call in if you'd like to talk with President Rodriguez. It's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. It's also our Call a Lawyer night. I hope you will take advantage of speaking to one of our lawyers if you have a problem. By the way, there's no obligation. No one's going to try to hit you up for anything at all. It's a great service that these attorneys are performing, and most of them do this every month, which we try to do on the fourth Wednesday of the month. Alice O'Sullivan is the former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. She's a certified specialist in workers' compensation law. Jeffrey Hayden is a certified specialist in criminal law. Janet Lee Frankel is a certified specialist in family law. Peter Fortune is a certified specialist in legal malpractice law. We have Jesse Ralph for landlord-tenant law, Frank Adam for tax law and real estate, Ron Rohde for patent law, aviation law, lemon law, and BBB arbitration. And then tomorrow, Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available from 8 a.m. to noon. That's tomorrow, Thursday, October 24th. If you'd like to call him and you get his voicemail, leave your name and phone number. He'll call you back. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111 for Leon Baer for tomorrow morning. And for this evening, Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. And I want to encourage all of you, while President Rodriguez is here, to let him know how you feel about either lawyers or how the system is going, or maybe a problem that you have had in the system, or a question that you may have. So don't be bashful. 1-415-841-4134. And Chan, welcome to the program.
Well, it's been quite a while, Chuck, since I've talked to you.
My goodness.
And I think you're fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. I'll send you that $20 bill as soon as the program. Okay, go ahead.
All right. I am very delighted to hear about your presidency, sir.
Thank you.
And I have, they're not legal, but I have a godchild who became a lawyer. She married a gentleman who's also a lawyer, and he works in the same field that you do. The generosity of being that kind of a lawyer impressed me so much. But I'm calling to say I was fortunate enough to see a book tour that Sonia Meyer was on in L.A., found it on the television.
Yeah.
I was awed, so impressed. In fact, it changed my whole opinion of what these two young people and their children mean so much to me. But they mean to me even more. That woman and her generosity and her honesty and encouraging all the young people that were there in the audience to think about the law. You know, there's lots of bad jokes. There's lots of bad parts that lawyers play. You remember Gecko or whatever his name was?
Vern Gecko.
Yeah, greed is good or whatever. I think we need a new view. Oh, in so many ways, but particularly to respect people who are trying to keep us a lawful place.
Where did you, Chan, where did you see or hear Justice Sotomayor? Where were you?
It was one of the stations.
Oh, you heard her on the air. Okay.
I did not see her in person.
Yeah.
But I felt just so grateful to her.
I saw her presentation in Redwood City at the Fox Theater when she came there. Yes, and she's a very gracious woman. Thank you very much for calling.
Well, it's my pleasure. I love the station, and I love what we're able to do together.
Yeah, I agree. This is a station that is real public radio still. It's my kind of public radio. And Luis, you may not know this. This station was acquired by the school board of the school system of San Francisco about 70 years ago.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it is the oldest non-commercial station this side of the Rockies.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. So in any event, for those of you, don't be bashful. Chan was not bashful. So there's no reason why you can't call in and speak with State Bar President Luis Rodriguez. And the number is 1-415-841-4134. And call a lawyer if you have a legal problem and you'd like to talk to a lawyer off the air with no obligation, 1-800-525-9917. Law student debt. Most law students today, when they go to doesn't matter anymore, really, when they go to whether it's a private law school or even if it's a UC law school, it's terribly expensive, and people end up with these enormous debts of 100,000 or more. What thoughts do you have about law student debt? Not that the audience generally would be that interested in it, but I think it's one of your goals to try to look into in this next year.
Certainly, and thank you, Chuck, for that question. You know, like you said, most people wouldn't blink about thinking, well, you know, these folks, they know what they're getting into, right? They're going to law school. They know full well that they're going to incur huge amounts of debt, anywhere between $100,000 to $200,000. So why should we feel sorry for these folks? And, you know, we think that attorneys make a ton of money anyway. Well, the problem is this, Chuck, is my commitment as State Bar President is really an umbrella term, which is access to justice. And we talked about court funding and why that's important. But part of that equation is, and we also talked about legal services. So in order to help folks with modest means, in order to be able to provide them that advocacy that we talk about as being our profession, we need to have the talent there. And when the education is overwhelmingly expensive, then folks start looking at other areas and they start focusing on other professions when we would have had tremendous talent. And so we need to make sure that we address the issue of law school debt in order to assure that we have a continuous flow of talented individuals going into the profession. And what we've seen now is we see very energized individuals going into our profession because I think the attitude is starting to change. You know, the jokes about attorneys are starting to kind of disappear, not completely, but we don't hear them as often because I think we are finally getting to a point where folks recognize that what we have to offer is a true and needed service for our democracy. So if we don't have the talent because they're being priced out, then we are failing part of our democracy. That's the way I see it, Chuck.
An article was done on you, an interview was done on you that was a special to the Bar Journal. And by the way, Luis, I'd like you to know what my feeling is. I used to love to get the State Bar Journal in paper.
Right.
Really, I did. I am very concerned, and I'm not sure that, I don't think that this is perhaps one of your issues, but I'm very concerned when the State Bar went from doing away with paper and went to the internet, I'm concerned that there isn't that much that's being read of it on the internet. Now, I may be wrong, but I am concerned about that. And it probably nothing can be done, but it was nice to get it in paper where I could open it up and read it. In any event, those are my thoughts. When the article, when the interview of you was done by Susan McRae for the State Bar Journal, she saw on your wall in your office at the Public Defender's Office in L.A. A poster on the wall, which was the 50th anniversary of Gideon versus Wainwright, which is the landmark 1963 U.S. Supreme Court decision that led to the establishment of the state public defender's offices. Now, some people are prejudiced, saying that, well, gee, if I have a problem with the law, if I'm charged with some crime, I really don't want a public defender because I don't think they're going to really represent me as well as if I could hire my own attorney. What comments do you have on that?
Well, you know, Chuck, unfortunately, that is a very common belief that public defenders, first of all, that public defenders are not attorneys, that we're not real attorneys. And second of all, that our work is substandard. And I've been doing this for almost 20 years now, and I can tell you that folks who go into being a public defender, like being a prosecutor, we don't go into it because we're going to make a ton of money. I mean, that's the reality. We're public servants. We go into it for a different reason. And, you know, some folks, unfortunately, end up burning out, which provide for those negative thoughts of being a public defender. But the bottom line is we're in there every day. We're dealing with judges. We're dealing with prosecutors on a daily basis. We know what the prosecutor or that particular judge find to be offensive or important or trivial. And with those kind of You know, you can't really measure those factors with that information. Then you're able to provide, I think, a better service in defending the individuals as opposed to someone. And I don't criticize private attorneys, but, you know, when they come in, they're not in there every day. They need to do their homework. They need to research the environment in order to be able to advocate for the client. But we're there, and we know the environment. And although it's, like I said, you can't measure it, knowing the environment provides for a strong foundation in how you represent the individual.
I think you're absolutely right. I feel that in my county, San Mateo County, we have what's called a private defender system, which still is paid by county money and or state money, as opposed to something called the public defender. It's the same type of service where the court appoints an attorney for someone to defend that person who can't afford a private attorney. And these people are very talented. They're very experienced, and they know how the court works, as opposed to, let's say, someone who may not even be that familiar or do that much work in the criminal defense area.
That's
very. It's impressive what some of these people are able to do. What other areas would you like the listeners to know about in terms of how you see the future ahead of you in this coming year?
Well, you know, like I said, there's the umbrella commitment that I've made to the general public and to my family is the access to justice, and of course, that involves the advocacy for the preservation of court funding to assure, second, that we have support for legal services, that we deal with the issue of law school debt, and then the fourth one, looking at preventing immigration fraud. Those are the big four issues that I'll be dealing with this year. And, of course, you know, around that, we are expanding, we being the State Bar, are expanding the relationships that we have beyond the traditional ones, which are the bench, the membership, and going and working with other public and government agencies as well.
What do you envision? What other agencies do you envision the State Bar and you working with in this coming year?
Well, one thing that we've already started working with, Chuck, and we were approached by a number of, as they call, general counsels or consulate generals.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear of foreign governments having a representative in the States, you usually think of the ambassador.
Yes.
But within that hierarchy, there are the local council generals, and these are the folks who represent their country and provide services for their as they refer, their co-nationals. And so a number of council generals here in L.A. reached out to us because they were concerned with the issue of fraud on the immigrant community, whether they were from Mexico, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Peru, you name it. They approached us, and they said, look, can you help us educate, first of all, our staff as to what resources that are out there to protect folks, and second, can you provide us information to educate our people? And it was very basic information, which is, look, if you feel that you've been defrauded by an attorney, then you have to go to the State Bar. And we, even though we're part of a branch of government, our job is not to turn somebody into ICE or the immigration authorities. We don't care. We don't care. Our job is to protect the residents of California, whether they're here with documents or without. And the other part, of course, is assuring them that if they've been defrauded by an immigration consultant, or as they say, a notario, that they're educated about their rights. That is a major component of what we've already started doing, both at a statewide level and pretty soon at an international level. We'll be having meetings with a number of high-level officials and a number of the Central American and as well as the Mexican government.
If someone believes, with respect to an attorney they have retained, that the attorney has not done the work, or perhaps the attorney has disappeared or whatever, could you talk a little bit about the state bar court and how the average person who believes that he or she has been, let's say, abused, financially abused by his or her attorney, what the state bar will do, what the procedure may be, just if you wouldn't mind, and how the state bar court gets involved with this?
No, not at all. Not at all, Chuck. The way it works is this. You know, we've got a 1-800 number, and then we've got our website as well. Folks can call in, and it can be an anonymous call as well. They don't have to identify themselves, but they have to provide details as to what they think may be fraud, a fraudulent representation, or some type of malpractice. Well, malpractice is different, but really fraudulent representation. So just to give you a very simple example, somebody will call in to the state bar and say, look, my attorney is not returning my calls. I paid him or her this amount of money. I haven't seen anything with regards to my case. I'm worried about it. What can I do? Well, we have folks on the line who will take that information. We have a group of investigators who will follow up on that information and conduct an interview of the individual, if that person is willing to go forward, and then start talking to the attorney. From that point, it goes, we have a prosecutor within the state bar. It's the Office of Chief Trial Counsel, and the main prosecutor, her name is Jane Kim. They assign a prosecutor to investigate the case along with the investigator, and then there's a determination whether any charges, and they're not criminal charges, they're not civil charges, they're administrative charges because we have a license. They make the determination whether anything will be filed against the attorney. If there are charges that are filed, then the attorney has a right to fight the charges in front of a court. Now, California is the only state bar that has a court, a state bar court, because, of course, we're a democracy. We believe in due process. It's not right that you accuse someone and they don't have a right to defend themselves. So the case then goes to state bar court. The attorney either represents him or herself or has an attorney representing him or her, and the judge makes a determination as to whether there's any guilt there and makes a recommendation as to discipline. And then from there, that recommendation goes to the state Supreme Court, and ultimately the Supreme Court decides what will happen with that attorney.
Whether that person will be disbarred, suspended, or whatever. Is
exactly.
That right?
And, yeah. And one other thing, and then I'll open it up for you, Chuck, is folks are not aware that we have what is called the Client Security Fund. And what that is, when an attorney has been disciplined by the state bar, at the same time, the client, without having to go to a civil court and file a lawsuit against the attorney, can file a claim against the Client Security Fund, and whatever amount of money he or she paid to the attorney will be reimbursed to the individual.
Is there a limit on the amount of money that would be reimbursed to the client?
There's no limit.
That's incredible.
There's no limit.
I didn't realize that.
You know, part of
wow.
why we want to be so proactive in preventing fraud is that we want to make sure that, you know, the fraud claims are as minimal as possible, because mm-hmm. we want to make people whole. Whatever money they lost, because an attorney can then go ahead and declare bankruptcy and they're somewhat untouchable. But we want to make sure that we make the person whole. And most people don't know about that.
The Client Security Fund is then something that is funded by the attorneys who are licensed by the State Bar of California. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Every year, we as licensed attorneys contribute to that, I presume.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right. It's our Call a Lawyer night, and I'm looking to see where our attorneys are, if they're got phones to their ears or if they're just looking up at the ceiling. I can't really tell. It's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank the following persons who are here for Call a Lawyer. I think it's been a little bit of a quiet night, unfortunately, and I think that may be because of the first game of the World Series. But in any event, I want to thank Alice O'Sullivan, Workers' Compensation Law, Jeff Hayden, Criminal Law, Janet Lee Frankel, Family Law, Legal Malpractice Law, Peter Fortune. They are all certified specialists of the State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. I want to thank Jesse Ralph for Landlord-Tenant, and Frank Adam for Tax Law, Real Estate, Ron Rohde for Patent Law, Aviation Law, Lemon Law, and BV Arbitration. And tomorrow, if you are being hounded by creditors, Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available. No obligation on your part whatsoever. He's down in L.A., Thursday, October 24th, from 8 a.m. to noon. He'll be very happy to talk with you. His number, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and get his voicemail, please leave your name and phone number. He will call you back, and he will call you back whether it will be between 8 and noon or some other time. He's been incredibly generous with his time. And as a matter of fact, Luis, he was my guest a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about various things and with respect to bankruptcy, et cetera. I think the listeners tonight have been very quiet. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. I understand from our pre-program discussion that the Board of Trustees of the State Bar apparently will be meeting up here in March of this coming year. Is that your understanding?
Let me give you the exact date.
Good.
Just to be
good. I want to know that.
Actually, we will be we'll be in San Francisco November 14th through the 15th.
Uh-huh.
That's our next board meeting, just a couple of weeks from now. And then our next visit up to San Francisco won't be until May.
Until May?
Yes. I thought it was going to be March, but March.
Well, then May.
LA.
What I would like to do, unless something really, really extremely significant happens, is certainly have you, if you're going to be up here in San Francisco in May, have you on the program.
So I'd love to be.
I'll make a note of that, and maybe we'll get together by phone before then, Luis, and see how things are going. Let me ask you this, because I have wondered about this. Is there any potential, since one of your goals is to avoid immigration fraud, is there any potential that the state bar may begin at some point, not necessarily during your presidency, but perhaps something that you may try to design, to do investigation of these people who are scamming the vulnerable people in immigration?
We're already doing that, Chuck.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. We're doing it already.
Really? So yeah. So investigators of the state bar are investigating people who are scamming vulnerable immigrants. Is that right?
We are.
Oh, and when did that start?
We've been doing it for a while.
Have you?
Unfortunately, you know, there's only so much that we can do because we're not a prosecuting agency.
Yes, of course.
We can provide information to district attorney's offices, city attorney's offices, but ultimately, and you know this full well, the priorities have to be lined up. And
yeah.
When you're dealing with budget cuts or constraints,
yeah.
Sometimes a fraud claim is at the bottom, not because it's not important,
mm-hmm.
but because there's other more pressing matters.
Yeah.
But we've been doing that. And just to give you an example, here in L.A. County, we have partnered up with the Consumer Affairs Office of Los Angeles County.
Mm-hmm.
And what they'll do is they'll go into, you know, they'll get a complaint, a consumer complaint. They'll go into the office and seize information. We, as the state bar, if it involves an attorney, and now also if it involves an immigration consultant, we can go in there and gather the information and close the shop down.
Do you have to have some kind of a search warrant to do that?
No, not a search warrant, but we need, of course, court permission to go.
Okay, so it's an authorization by the court to do that.
Exactly. And it's a lower standard than a criminal warrant.
Right, right. Well, that's wonderful to hear, because I know that of the couple of cases that I handled some years ago, I did not have any input from the state bar, so I'm very pleased to hear that. Certainly, as long as I am with the San Mateo County DA's office, I will be very receptive to any kind of referral by the state bar, a state bar investigator, about anybody who is scamming somebody who's trying to become a legal resident of this country and of this state. Here's a question for you. Should consumers look to the state bar for guidance when it comes to maintaining privacy in all respects in managing transactions and communications online? Okay. Go ahead with that one, Luis.
You know,
brother.
We have no control over
NSA.
So, I can't answer that one.
Oh, boy. That's a tough, that is pie in the sky, unfortunately. No, we can't do that one. If there's any other great questions like that, I'd certainly like to hear them. We have about 2 minutes left with President Luis Rodriguez. It's 1-415-841-4134. And let me mention to you, everyone, in the event that you would like to get a copy of one of the free pamphlets that the Board of Legal Specialization has, or you'd like to find out who your certified specialist is in any one of the 11 specialties, you can either call the statewide number, which is 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100, or you can go to the website, www.californiaspecialist.org, www.californiaspecialist.org, and you can see what pamphlets you can get, free pamphlets, and also find out for your geographic area who the certified specialists are. The State Bar itself, as the entity, also has free pamphlets. And that website is www.calbar.ca.gov, www.calbar.ca.gov. There are some very fine pamphlets that the State Bar has developed. I forget how many there are now. Do you have any idea, Luis, how many there are?
Chuck,
there are a lot.
I know it's a huge library.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. So that's available to you, everyone, if you want it. Luis, we have about half a minute. What final thoughts do you have?
Final thoughts are this, Chuck. You know, a lot has been made of the fact that I'm the first Latino, but also the first public defender to be president of the state bar. It's a tremendous honor to represent the Latino community and, just as importantly, the public defender community, because I really want to do away with as many negative stereotypes, unspoken ones, that are associated with both those communities. I want folks to know that we as Latinos and we as public defenders are committed and are just as competent as anybody else. And at the end of the day, the test of true democracy is when we come together as a community. I live in a different country. I've seen what is a so-called democracy, but we're living it here. So those are my final thoughts, Chuck.
Luis, thank you so much for joining us on Your Legal Rights.
Thank you, Chuck.
I want to thank you very much for joining us. I know you have a tremendously difficult schedule, both as a chief of one of the divisions of the Public Defender's Office in L.A. and, of course, now as the president of the State Bar. So, Luis J. Rodriguez, thank you so much. I look forward to having you back on the program at your convenience.
Thank you, Chuck.
Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. Additional funding by the Trusts and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, we will continue to talk about the State Bar of California and consumer protection with two of the past State Bar presidents, Jeff Bleich and Jim Heiting. That's next week for Your Legal Rights. I thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We'll be right back.